Hi, I'm Dr. Jillian Murphy, a naturopath, healthy-ish lifestyle architect, body joy seeker, and French fry activist. And you're listening to 100% Healthy-ish. Here's the thing. As a naturopath and an intuitive eating, health at every size health coach, I have seen every angle and end of the health conversation. And after years of clinical and coaching experience, I've developed a framework for feeling good and having fun that I know you're gonna love. To be healthy-ish, we move beyond the boring basics and consider some ish you have never thought of before when it comes to your health. Are you ready? It's gonna be fun. Let's go. Hey, and welcome back to the podcast and this series on manifesting with the moon. If you haven't listened to the first episode that I did on this, you may want to go back and take a listen before listening to this episode. It's episode 241, and in that, I feel like I've said episode a million times. In that episode, I am breaking down the different phases of the moon and kind of laying out the first month of this challenge, like what I was exploring, what happened, what I was looking for, what was going on. And then this is the first monthly update where I'm going to review the past month and how I've been combining the woo of working with the moon and the really pragmatic, strategic aspects of it. And for those who haven't tuned into the other episode yet, I just want to say that, the goal with this, the challenge that I set for myself is to break some really long-standing patterns of scarcity and overwork that I've been experiencing. And I think that if you're tuning into this episode, healthy-ish, you might be thinking, like, what does this have to do with health and weight and naturopathic medicine and taking care of ourselves? And I'll just say that, you know, whatever our not so positive long-standing patterns are, they interfere with how we take care of ourselves. And it's really interesting that even though the patterns that I'm trying to break are around scarcity and overwork, my body and weight and food continue to weave in and out of this story, because I think that scarcity isn't just a story about work and money. It's a story about not having enough and being enough. And interestingly, even though there's so many things that I've dealt with when it comes to my body, and I feel like I'm kind of beyond it, I think some of those patterns just transferred into work because they weren't fully dealt with. And as I unravel the story and as I peel back the layers of the onion, it's really interesting to see the weight and food and health story pop back up and for me to start exploring it in a new way. And there are so many lessons coming out of this that I plan to bring to the healthy-ish reset that's coming this fall. Just like deeper layers, deeper levels, I think, of knowing and understanding when it comes to intuitive eating and being really intentional, like being able to balance yeses and nos when it comes to food and how we actually want to feel in our bodies, and being able to integrate, like, not just listening to our body, but allowing our brain to come back into the conversation. You know, one of the things that I've probably talked about on this podcast so many times is the fact that when people are really stuck in diet mentality and weight loss mentality, their brains are trying to run the show. And they end up in a war between brain and body because the body's often fighting back against overly restrictive, pie in the sky ideas that the brain has about how we should be eating for health and wellness and weight. And our body's like, whoa, wait a minute. I can't eat that little. I can't do that. That's not good for me. I need carbohydrate. I need X, Y, Z, whatever it is. And so in the initial phases of this work, we really turn down the volume on our brains so that we can connect to our bodies. But many of the women that I work with get to an amazing place where they're no longer in the war, the battle between brain and body. But there is a period of time where they realize, you know, I'm just kind of going with the flow. I'm mostly listening to my intuition, but I also don't feel great in my body. And I don't know if I can always trust all the information coming from my body. And I want to go a little further and I need to bring my brain back into this game in a bigger way. But it's difficult to trust our brains because they've been so diet mentality trained. So anyway, that has been something that's come up in a really big way, interestingly, through this exploration and challenge, and it's woven in here in a big way. So what I'm going to do today is go back through this past month. The new moon was on June 16th, 17th last month, and I'm going to take you through the full month, and I'll just remind you what each phase of the moon, like what it tends to bring to us and what it tends to bring up for us, and then what came up for me, and what I had to work through and what I had to work with. And then we'll end the episode. I'll do a little reflection on what my intentions were for last month and how that went. And then we'll set some intentions for next month. And I'll be back in a month to review again. And I'll be back in the fall with a new series, you know, a new healthy-ish series, specifically talking about the healthy-ish reset. Probably it's going to be so good. It's going to be a 3-week reset for feeling better in your body. Like actually, if you've been feeling bad about your body, about how you look in your body, how you feel in your body, it's going to be a reset that tackles all of that. And it's going to be so juicy and so good. So we'll come back with a series on that. But for now, I'm just going to keep going. I've decided I'm going to do this all year. I hope you hold me to it. And what's so interesting, I'll just say one more thing before I finish this very long intro, is that One of the reasons I decided to do this challenge is that in the past, I have tried to like break this pattern a million times. And I've tried to work with the moon cycles a million times. I don't know if you have tried this as well. And I don't take really thorough notes and I don't stay on top of it. And so it feels really pressing on the new moon. I set the intentions, you know, I'm going to do this. And then I kind of just forget about it. Until the full moon. I'm like, wait a minute, what was my intention? What was I working on? I don't really remember. Or even until the next new moon and somebody mentions it on social media and I'm like, oh shit, yeah. I was supposed to be working quote unquote with this new moon. What does that even mean? And so my goal with this challenge is to like really work with the new moons and the full moons and to bring you along for the ride and to share the strategy with you so that if you want to break something, you can actually work on breaking it and sticking with it and not just checking in once a month, but actually checking in regularly throughout the month to see what life is bringing to you, what it's bringing up for you, how it's trying to teach you, and what patterns there are to lean into and what patterns there are to break free from. So I'm just so glad that I have notes because I had zero memory of what had happened in the past month, even though I've been working diligently. So I'm just going to go through this kind of like, I'm just going to go through my notes. If I'm honest with you, I'm on vacation here in PEI. I haven't really done deep prep work for this episode. I'm just going to like open up my notes. We're going to talk it through and I'm going to share. And I'm so grateful that I took thorough notes. Cause like I said, it's so easy to forget what we're working on until something feels really pressing and overwhelming. And so, working with the moon cycle, like I said, is a way I think to be intentional and strategic and to stay on top of what I'm trying to break free from, what I'm trying to work on, and to also explore what the mystery school of life, if we think of our lives as like a curriculum, what is life bringing to me? You know, there's what I want to work on and then there's what life is bringing. So let's dive in. Okay, so where we start our moon cycle, or where I'm going to start it every month, is with the dark moon. And the dark moon happens 2 or 3 days before the new moon. And the new moon in June was June 16th, 17th. So sort of the like 13th, 14th, 15th of June was the dark moon. And this is the phase of the cycle where we're really reflecting back on everything that happened the month before and where we're at and if we're happy with it. It's a time for quiet. It's a time for being alone a little bit, if we can be, doing a little less so that we can actually hear what's happening inside of our own brains and bodies. And the notes that I have about the dark moon from that month is that my husband was away and I was taking care of the kids. And so I was getting to bed early and I was taking some time for myself, but I was definitely busier than I typically am. And I was finding it hard to find that like quiet time for reflecting. But if I bring us back to where we sort of like left off the month before, I had started this challenge for myself leading up to my 44th birthday. And I was really, again, I had set the intention to break this pattern of scarcity and overwork. And it started to become clear that there was probably some bigger pressing issues underneath of that that needed to be dealt with if I was going to be able to like really break free of this pattern, like of trying to validate myself through work and money and, you know, external accomplishments. So I was reflecting on that a little bit, and the new moon was coming up. And interestingly, it was a new moon in Gemini that happened on June 16th, 17th. And I just couldn't figure it out. Like on the new moon, we are supposed to be setting intentions for the month ahead. And I don't know why, but I just like couldn't get it together. Like I said, I was taking care of the kids alone. I was trying to, you know, I was going to bed really early. I was feeling okay, but I just couldn't find 5 minutes to myself. And every time I sat down to think about it, it just felt like a jumble. And then it was really interesting because Channy Nicholas, who has a great astrology app, popped up on Instagram to say, you know what? This is a new moon in Gemini. And new moons in Gemini, you know, like it's like playful. Gemini is really playful, but it can also be indecisive and a little all over the place. And so she was saying like, there's no need to make a decision right now on the new moon and what your intentions are going to be. She sort of advised like, just marinate in them until the summer solstice, because the summer solstice was coming up really quickly on June 21st. And so I just decided to sink into that. It was like we were deep in the thick of June things, wrapping up dance shows and end of the year school stuff. And everything just felt kind of all over the place and really scattered. So I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to get through this weekend. The solstice is coming up on the Tuesday, on the 21st, and I'm just going to marinate in this and see what pops up. And so my husband got back. I can't even remember where he was now. This is so funny as I'm reflecting on this, but he got back and I said, you know what? I'd really love to do on the solstice is get up super early together. We looked at like when the sun was going to rise around 6 a.m. or like 5:45 or something. I said, let's get up super early. Let's drive down to the lake. Let's see the sunrise. Let's go for a little cold plunge slash swim. The water was pretty warm at that point, so it was almost just swimmable weather. And have a hot coffee, and then we'll reflect on, you know, new moon intentions and have a workout and, you know, just figure it out at that point. So he agreed. And I was really looking forward to it. It was so interesting because I was really looking forward to like this incredibly peaceful, calm, serene, beautiful summer solstice morning. And at the same time, the night before, I was like, I think what I really want my intentions for this next new moon is just to be, you know, it's a new moon in Gemini and I want to just lean into this, right? So I want the intention to be around play. We're entering into the busiest part of the summer. I'm trying to break patterns of scarcity and workaholism. So I just might as well enjoy the summer. Like, let's just lean into this. I want to just trust that if I cut back even further on work, that money's just going to continue to flow. And so my intention was just to play and to have fun and to continue to pare down my business, not the actual like offerings of my business or the work that I do, but like the distractions, the busy work, the feeling obligated to be on social media or even recording podcasts. Like I just wanted to pare away all of the expectations and should do's and like ought to do's and what am I trying to say here? Like the the pressures to do certain things. And I just want to pare it all away and like see what happens. I want to play. I want to have fun. And so we get down. It's so interesting, right? Because we get down to the water on the 21st and we're so early. It's so early in the morning. And again, the water is still fairly cold at this point in time. And so I'm not expecting anyone to be there. And there's a couple there. And they were sweet. We said hi and like happy solstice. And we get in the water and then they start like blaring music. And it kind of seems like maybe they're just newly dating because they are talking a mile a minute. And it's like they don't really know each other. And they're kind of sparring back and forth and almost trying to impress each other a little bit, but also they don't often dunk or like go in cold water. So it's all very shocking. So they're screaming and they're yelling. And I thought it was really funny because there was a part of me that wanted to be irritated about the situation. Like they were ruining our calm, serene summer solstice morning. But then I remembered that the night before, I'd really settled on more play, like being playful and being taking myself like less seriously and leaning into whatever was going on and having fun. So we just did. We just leaned into it and we sort of like chatted with them and had a lot of fun. And anyway, it was just like the perfect summer solstice morning, I think. It was very playful and really just like really, really, really fun. Okay, sorry, I'm just going through my notes. So then I set an action list. So if you remember the new moon, we set intentions, but we don't just set intentions and then like hope the universe brings it to us. This is where we get strategic as well. So this isn't just about manifestation where we put good vibes out into the universe and we hope things happen. We also make an action item checklist. This is the part of the moon cycle that is very active. And it's about building and doing, and there's a lot of energy. So I just made some really specific checklists for like paring down my business. So I wanted to edit the sales page of my business to just edit up the offers that I'm offering. I've been doing some talks in the community at the Queen's University and at some other organizations. And there were a number of people that I just wanted to follow up with, people that I had built great relationships with and wanted to sort of say like, hey, here's my contact info. Here's how people can get in touch with me if they want to work with me. Just a really simple, fun, playful way to market what I do without feeling really heavy. Start building the healthy-ish reset that I'm going to be offering in the fall, this 3-week reset, which I'm really excited about. Interestingly, the other item that was on my list was to eat for deep pleasure, not unconscious desire. So that's something that was really interesting. I'd been having some big stomach pain, and so I added that on because the thing is, it's really hard to be playful when you're in pain. And so I decided to add this to the list, eat for deep pleasure. And so my goal was to like re-explore my relationship with pleasure and what that could look like as I was like deeply nourishing my body. And I wanted to just be like a little bit more aware of the unconscious desires or stories playing out that might have me choosing things that were not really that great for my body. So that was in there. I also added build in fun days. So we're on holiday right now. But last month before we went on holiday, I made sure to build in downtime and fun days every single week. And then especially when the kids were off school, I wanted to make sure that I had days that I was just with them, and had time for being playful, right? And then the last thing was being discerning in my spending, because it feels safer if I'm being more careful with my expenses. It feels safer I'm trying to trust that money will continue to flow. But I also want to feel safe in this. You know, I don't want to be reckless and wild. And so, not that there's anything wrong with being reckless and wild, but for me, that just feels like a safer place to be. So one of the other things that was on my action list was to be discerning in my spending so that this could stay fun, so that this exploration in the summer could stay fun. So those were the action items that I set up for myself. And again, I'm trying to check in frequently with myself as I'm going through this. So on June 23rd, a few days later, I was just kind of going about my day and I just wanted to see, like, I asked the question, what is life offering up, right? So there was the new moon and there was the solstice, and I set this intention to be playful and to sink into playfulness and enjoyment and trusting that money will flow. Paring down my business, not the actual business, but the busy work of my business, and trusting that everything would be fine. And so on June 23rd, early in the morning, I was up and I was just, you know, doing some meditation, and I decided to ask the question, what is life offering me up? And I also pulled a tarot card, and what I pulled was the Wheel of Fortune reversed. And this is really interesting because I've pulled this two or three times in the past 2 months. And I haven't pulled a lot of tarot cards, and I've done a lot of shuffling of that deck and cutting. And it's very funny that this happens frequently to me, that the same card will show up many times in a row when I'm working through things. What does the Wheel of Fortune reversed means? It can mean bad luck, or it can mean breaking cycles, which is really interesting because that's what I'm trying to do here, right? And so I was like, I think this is about breaking cycles. And so I decided to pull another tarot card, and I asked the question, is there anything more I need to know about this? And I pulled the Emperor. And the Emperor card is about being a leader. And so for me, what this pulled up is that it's my job to be a leader in breaking cycles. And that's what this challenge is all about. It's about opening up, which feels quite vulnerable. It feels very vulnerable, if I'm honest, to share what I'm doing inside my business. Like, I am rock solid in the work that I do and the value that I offer, but to be so open about renegotiating how I work and the way that I present offers and what I charge and grappling with all of those changes, it's very vulnerable, but it felt like validation. It felt like confirmation that I was on the right path. And actually, I think I started pulling tarot cards that morning. If I'm looking through these notes, it's that I had a couple of new clients that I was really excited to work with. And there was someone who wasn't paying and someone who just kind of ghosted me and didn't show up. And so I was sort of asking, like, what's coming up here? And I think that I was being tested a little, right? Like, I was being asked to lean into playfulness and to trusting. And it gave me a couple of really hard moments with a few people at that time. People not showing up, not paying, ghosting me, not responding. And so, you know, I asked that question at this point, you know, if life is a mystery school, what is it teaching me? It's giving me no's. It's giving me stops. It's giving me openings in some areas. Money is stopping and starting. But when I really stepped back and looked at it on this morning, it was still coming in consistently, a little bit lower than I'd like it to be coming in, but it's still coming in. I did some finances around this time as well. And it's always good to look at the, you know, a couple of bad days can make you feel like everything's falling apart when you're an entrepreneur. But when you just sit down and look at your QuickBooks, like, the numbers don't lie. And so even though the numbers were a little lower than I'd like them to be, the truth is that money was still coming in consistently. And the no's that I was getting when it came to work were giving me space and time and rest and more time for movement and laughs with my kids and social events. And I feel like money was still coming in. and life was offering me up space. The other thing that sort of came up around this time, I started working on that action list that I had given to myself, created for myself. And one of the things was to start working on this healthy-ish reset. And because I had a little more space and time, I thought, well, you know, I wasn't planning on getting to work on it until July. But I decided to dive in a little early. And it was so interesting because that stomach pain that I was having popped up in a big way. So the Tuesday was summer solstice. Wednesday, I decided to dive into this healthy-ish reset creation. And that Wednesday, major, major stomach pains. And so between that and the clients not showing up, paying, responding, I just took all of this as a sign that I needed to simplify the offerings that I currently have, simplify my life first, stick with the play, use the space that I had for rest and for fun, just like I had intended, and to not push. I can work on the course a little bit later. So that's where I was at. So I set the intentions, I created the action list, and right away, life starts offering up all kinds of interesting lessons. Then we came to the waxing quarter on June 26th. So the waxing quarter is typically a challenge or a real test to the intention that you set. And so the 24th of June was my birthday. I turned 44. And I woke up to a video that had gone viral about, it was a supposed quote unquote naturopath who was saying that the government in Canada is trying to stop the sale of all natural health products in Canada and that it's going to kill the naturopathic medicine industry. We're not going to be able to buy supplements anymore. It's going to kill all these businesses. Within 2 years, there's going to be no naturopathic medicine in Canada anymore. So I woke up to this video. I worked that morning and I had messages, like 3 or 4 messages from different people that morning already when I got up and started work asking me if this was true. I saw patients all morning in one-on-one sessions, and I had several of them very panicked and asking me about this. And it was like kind of a major jolt to my nervous system first thing in the morning. But I did like a very quick research for myself as I was working. I didn't have a ton of time, but it was pretty clear that this quote-unquote naturopath wasn't a licensed, regulated naturopath, that she was greatly exaggerating the situation, and there is something to be concerned about. And if you want to go to saveoursupplements.com, you can find out more information and actually find ways to use your voice. But essentially, what the government is trying to do is trying to change the regulation on health products in Canada. And that can be a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Yes, we want our products regulated, but they are regulated here in Canada. I just want to be clear about that. And the new regulations don't really seem like, when you really look through them, it doesn't seem like it's going to change the labeling of health products in a way that's actually going to be helpful to the public. That's what they're saying. They're saying all of this is for the safety of the public. But when you actually take a look at what the changes are, it's really minimal. I don't actually think that the average buyer is going to see a difference, but it is going to deeply impact small supplement companies like St. Francis, whose herbs I use all the time, NFH, potentially. It's going to affect smaller companies that don't have the funds to keep up with these fees. So there is an issue there, but all of this to say, it was a jolt to my nervous system early in the morning. And like, I worked through it that day and in the coming days. But we're talking like, if you want to feel a challenge to your intention to trust that money will continue to flow, you know, wake up to a video one morning where they say your career is going to be over in 2 years. Not easy. But I was just like, okay. The other thing that sort of like a little bit laughable, but it happened and it kind of jolted me. I was working with one of the patients that morning and she was telling a story and she said something about something to the effect of like, she was telling me a story about some women and she was like, you know, they were our age. And it was just interesting because it was my 44th birthday and this patient is like well into her 60s. And, you know, I laughed at the time, like, you know, no big deal, whatever. I think that she and I connect on a really deep level. So the fact that we seem the same age is totally fine. I think that there are also 20-year-olds in my practice that I connect with on that level. But I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm here to tell the truth. And the reality is that it stuck with me a little bit. Like, it was my 44th birthday. And I was basically said, like, lumped into the group of, like, 60-plusers. You know, it was like, you know, they're our age. So I'm just going to say, it's a waxing quarter. It's here to bring up challenges. And for me, the challenges are to my sense of abundance and trust and connection. And these felt like big challenges for me. I was also having a huge party that day, outdoor party. It was raining. There was a music festival happening in our neighborhood. And there was just going to be a lot of people coming and going from our house. And particularly in like a 2-hour window over supper time, there was just going to be like a lot of people coming and going. And so I had some anxiety about that. Like, it was a big challenge to my intention to be playful, right? Like I wanted to be anxious and I wanted to control and panic and make decisions. And just like, I just had to sink into it. And I tried to just be as like playful and go with the flow and like, it's all going to be okay. And it was really okay. But then there were some friends who are very close to me, who I adore very much and still adore very much, who kind of didn't show up the way I was hoping that they would and kind of, it just didn't feel like they showed up for me on my birthday. And there was a lot of people and a lot of things going on and I really needed and wanted them there for a variety of reasons. And, you know, I won't go into the full story because it's not that deep and not that big of a deal. But it was a challenge. It was a real challenge to my ability to have fun and to feel, you know, what came up for me, what I realized in this really challenging waxing quarter is that the deeper issue for me is a sense of belonging and feeling a deep sense of belonging to myself and in myself. And so I can be easily swayed by a week of difficulty with clients, a bad video, friends kind of like not doing what I hoped they would do or not meeting my expectations. And, you know, luckily I have really solid, great friends. We talked through it. It's all good. Everything's amazing. But whoa, was that a big waxing quarter? Like, we're not playing around here. It challenged me on every level. It challenged me on financial levels, on work levels, on emotional levels. I was like a huge raw nerve through all of this. I think I cried for like 3 days straight. I just cried and cried and cried. And then after that, there was just a bunch of really fun days, like so many fun days. Shopping, going with my daughter, one of my daughters, to get her nails done, going out for dinner several nights in a row with different friends, celebrating my birthday in kind of an ongoing way. I kind of forgot to think about food, but I was still just like having fun. And it's just so interesting to also look back at these notes and see how big emotions come and go. And something can feel really huge one day and just be totally over the next. So really riding the waves of this emotion. So just lots of fun days. Like I said, lots of dinners out, yummy food. I wasn't really being super conscious about what I was eating, but I was just having a really good time. And there was another morning, I made a note that there was another morning in here where I decided to pull a tarot card. And the tarot card that I pulled was the Tower. And if anybody knows the Tower card, it's like a crumbling of something. And it was the Tower reversed. And the Tower reversed suggests that you're undergoing a significant personal transformation. but that you might be holding on to tight, like trying not to fall, trying not to let go, trying to not let the thing that needs to crumble, crumble. The tower, the upright tower, just means something's crumbling, something needs to fall apart. But as I meditated on it, it's just like, yeah, I'm holding on a little too tight. I'm not sure what's next. I'm not sure what the next steps are or where I need to go next or what I need to do. And so it's making me feel a little afraid. And so I just went back to that action list that I'd created. And I was finding it really hard, like I said, to do any work on work things. Like it just wasn't happening. And so I just really worked on play and abundance and my finances. I went back and I got all caught up in my bookkeeping because that's part of feeling abundant, right? Being really on top of our numbers and in deep relationship with our money. And so I did my work finances and my personal finances and just got like really deeply, intimately in connection with all of that. I signed up at this point for like a sexy self-care challenge that focuses on money through the Money Witch, and that felt really, really, really fun. And if I'm honest, at that time I was feeling a little bit jaded about online entrepreneurship. But while I was away, where was I? Where did I go? I'm just trying to think. We went away. I was feeling really jaded about online entrepreneurship, and we got up super early. This is like around June 30th now. And, we flew to Winnipeg for a bar mitzvah, which is just a super fun weekend. And while we were away, I bought a book about belonging because that had come up so deeply through that waxing quarter and realized that that's the deeper, truer goal or intention that I have set for myself. Like, it's not just about breaking a pattern of scarcity and workaholism. It's about finding true belonging with myself in my body. And I circled back to the realization that eating for deep pleasure and for feeling my absolute best in my physical body and home is the space that needs the most honing. So in line with that tower tarot card that I pulled, I refined my intentions just a little bit more, and I decided that I would do no extra frivolous spending, and I would really let my effort with work crumble, like really let it crumble. I would take a break from social media. I would really hone in on having fun and just leaning into this like sense of belonging with myself. Okay, so fast forward a little bit. We get to the full moon on July 3rd. So we just got back from being in Winnipeg at this bar mitzvah. I honed the full moon, if you remember, is a moment to hone your intention. So I set these kind of big intentions and this action list. But as we move into the second part of the cycle, where the moon starts to wane, the energy is lower and it's less about building and doing, and it's more about refining, honing, stepping back, doing less. And so I honed my financial goal for the summer. So I got more clear on what my financial goal needed to be for the summer. And that was easy to do because of all the things that I had done leading up to the full moon, getting in touch with my finances. I really let the overwork fall apart. And I was intent on like still attracting more than enough money. And that was beautiful. That was a really beautiful like full moon. I did a full moon ritual. I went for a swim. I connected to the things that had been hard. And again, it was really around triggers around food and weight and worry about work. And I just decided that was what I was going to release. That was what I was going to release through this full moon. So I went for a big swim. And it was also interesting because I tried to get outside for this full moon ritual and see the full moon. And this is typically so easy to do at our house. And there was a night where on the full moon, Jamie and I went to a late movie and we walked home. And normally the full moon would be like big and full and huge on a night like that. And we couldn't see it. It was foggy. And for the whole 3 days where the full moon is usually big and bright and beautiful, it was foggy. And so, you know, a full moon ritual is typically you step outside and you get under the light of that full moon and you ask for some guidance. in honing and refining your intentions, but I couldn't see it. Like, I couldn't see it. And those big feels of loneliness and not belonging were lingering, right? From the week before, they were lingering. And I just had to trust. Again, I had to trust and just keep moving forward. And I really honed in on pleasure-filled eating. What does that mean? And how can I commit to it? And I want to get more into that next month, probably. I'll just let it go for now. But just trusting and letting go of old stories about food and weight and my body and income. So that was really beautiful. And on July 7th, just after the full moon, I pulled a tarot card and I asked the question, what do I need most? And I pulled the reversed Six of Swords, which says, you know, leaving behind thoughts and patterns and behaviors that no longer serve. And so that was really interesting because that's exactly what I was trying to do. And that most often this work is done best in isolation. So this isolation that I was feeling may have actually been, you know, quite purposeful actually, and a bit of a rite of passage toward a better future. So that felt really interesting and cool. What else was there? Sorry, this is turning into a much longer episode than I thought, but I find this stuff really interesting. I hope you do too. So for the rest of that waning period, I was just leaning into like play and abundance and this sexy self-care challenge, which is just really about like noticing all the abundance in my life and finding abundance that is less to do with financial things and more to do with just like the beauty in our lives. And so I was just really focusing all of that. And then we came to the waning quarter, and the waning quarter is often a challenge to like let go of something really big, really huge. And the big thing that was coming up for me at this time was stories about my body and food and weight. So it's interesting to see how this shifts, right? The beginning of the month, it was more about work and finances and play. And then what I see coming up through the course of the month are the deeper hurts or wounds that want to make me feel lacking and in scarcity, you know? So the wounds around belonging that keep me in scarcity, the wounds around my body and weight and the way that I look that want to keep me in scarcity. And so that's like, you know, just leaning into noticing all of that and really letting it go through the last part of the month. And we traveled out east a week ago, visiting friends, really leaning into like the abundance of summer and noticing all of the truly beautiful things in our lives and the way that money has just continued to flow. Again, not always exactly the way I want it to or in the exact right amounts. But it's happening. And, you know, when we came to this dark moon, the reality is that we're in a cottage. We had friends here for 5 days. It was really hard to find alone time to connect to myself, which clearly is a pattern. But what I decided to do was lean into a simple question. What's working and what's not working at the new moon? So this is all I had time for. And what I wrote down for what's working is eating. So as I was honing my efforts through the second part of that cycle, and again, I'll talk about it more next month or maybe even in the series as we lead into the Healthiest Reset, I got very clear on some deep work I needed to do around my eating. And it's felt amazing, truly amazing. Feeling a deeper connection to my body, feeling comfort in saying yes and no to certain kinds of food, integrating that brain and body connection that I was talking about in the intro, examining the urges that I have when it comes to food and movement versus like true desire. Like what's just a momentary fleeting urge versus the true desires that I have when it comes to my body and how I want to feel, and also examining surface pleasure, like things that bring instant gratification with some collateral damage or some side effects versus like deeper pleasure, like difficult decisions that bring deeper lasting good feelings in my body. And that's been incredibly interesting, specifically if you've been playing with intuitive eating for a while. I think you're going to really enjoy hearing what's come out of that because it's been big and it's been, you know, great. And then I asked what's not working. And it's really interesting because nothing came to mind. I was like, I don't know, which is a great feeling. Like, you know, as you heard, there were lots of ups and downs in this month. And I think that if you're just a human living a human life, you probably feel lots of ups and downs in your life as well. But what was cool about this month is I was able to draw meaning. I was able to learn from what life was offering up to me. I was able to see what I was playing into and where my wounds were amplifying or making things worse. I was able to repair and let go. And then as the new moon in Cancer arrives, it's interesting because this is a new moon about uncovering our deepest needs, nourishing ourselves in the ways we need most right here, right now. And helping us get to the bottom of something. So I'll talk more about that next month when we circle back. But I'll just say it's been a really interesting month. And while my intention, I think, for this new moon in Cancer isn't so different, there's a very different feeling underneath of it. And it feels deeper and it feels bigger and more expansive. And I'm just so excited to see what this next month has to offer. So that's it for me today. If you want to join along, you can always leave a voice note, just so you know, at the end of these episodes. I'd love to hear what you're working on and if there's anything interesting that's come up for you as you work through your monthly moonly challenge. You can also leave questions, comments, things you want me to talk about. I hope this was interesting, not too detailed. I'll see if I can tighten it up next month a little bit so it's a little bit, you know, more succinct, hopefully. I thought I'd just try talking through the notes, but I realized the notes were kind of exhausting. But I hope you're learning from it. I certainly am. And like I said, I'm just excited to see what the next moon cycle brings. And I will be sure to share with you my offers when, just quickly circle back on the intentions that I had set, right? Because I feel like that's kind of important. I set the intentions and the action items, and I'll say that for the most part, what I was really working on was the play and eating for deep pleasure and trusting in abundance. I definitely like built in those fun days. I was very discerning with my spending. I really followed through on a lot of the actions. The only actions that kind of fell apart this month were the work ones. And I think that, again, you know, my intention was to lean into trust and abundance. And I was still at the beginning of the month not trusting. Like I was like, I'll trust as long as I'm building a new program. I'll trust as long as I'm getting ready to sell something else. I'll trust as long as I'm still showing up on social media in a certain way. And my body and my life really rebelled against that. So I set the intention to play and to trust. And that's what I've been doing. So see you back here next month. Again, there's going to be a new series starting in the fall to help lead us into the healthy-ish 3-week reset. There is so much juicy learning that I have done that I cannot wait to share when it comes to food and body and discernment and choice and discomfort and urges and the difference between surface pleasure and deep pleasure and how we can be more intuitive and more discerning in our choices while not falling into harmful forms of restriction. I can't wait to share it all with you. Okay, that's it for today. Have a wonderful month, and I'll check in next month.